This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On April 25th, Nepal was struck by a magnitude 7.9 earthquake which devastated the country. Questions have been raised as to why Nepal was unprepared despite having experienced major earthquakes before, and if anything could have been done to mitigate the disaster. Dr. Elan Kelman is from the Institute for Risk and Disaster Reduction at University College London. He explains that there were efforts to prepare the public for earthquakes, but these were insufficient given the huge scale of the disaster.
The challenge that we see is actually one of time. Nepal has so many people who are so dedicated to disaster risk reduction and to earthquake safety. They had made amazing achievements in the past years, and if they'd been given just a few more decades, their achievements would have definitely made Nepal a lot more safe to earthquakes and other disasters. Their dedication, their work saved hundreds of lives. But there was a long way to go. They were dealing with a very difficult situation. The country is rocked by poverty. It has long had conflict. There are major governance issues. And unfortunately, all of those created the vulnerability, which we saw exposed on the 25th of April.
Elan elaborates on the efforts his colleagues made to encourage the Nepali people to adopt measures such as earthquake retrofitting to make their buildings more resistant to tremors.
They would actually take a mini shake table out into villages, and they would put on this mini shake table two scale models of houses. One house had earthquake resistance features. The other house did not. They would hit the button, the shake table would go, and people would see that the house without the earthquake resistant features would collapse, and the one with the features would be okay. So they would simply stand in the community centers with people crowding around and describe what was happening. This had amazing influence in showing people that there are straightforward measures which individuals can take to help themselves for earthquakes. The other major component was education. So they were introducing disaster topics into school curricula. They were teaching people what to do when the shaking starts. They were ensuring that people, whether in cities or rural villages, would know first aid. And again, the work that they've done is inspiring. It helped a lot of people on the day of the earthquake. But Nepal is obviously a big country. There's a lot of people. They haven't had a lot of time, so there was a long way to go.
He advocates that these measures be applied by other countries to mitigate earthquake risk.
Teaching people first aid, teaching people proper behavior in disasters, depending on the hazard, it might be earthquakes or hurricanes, but also recognizing that enforced building codes make a difference. Implemented planning guidelines make a difference. So if we don't have the technical expertise and resources to do it for ourselves, then we can take the responsibility to lobby our governments and our authorities to ensure that it is done. And again, all of these processes were in their infancy in Nepal. They had shown their successes, and it's just tragic that they did not have a few more decades to complete their achievements.
Despite these efforts, observers have criticized the Nepalese government for their slow response to the disaster, blaming red tape for slowing down the foreign relief effort and aid distribution. Governance and graft issues also contributed to the situation.
So Nepal actually has a building code, but they don't have the resources, they don't have the governance to fully implement it. There are issues of corruption, social exclusion, health, education, all of those help to build up vulnerability to earthquake disasters. When you have these issues, they don't translate into enforced building codes or law enforcement so that codes of practice can be monitored and enforced. They don't translate into people having the access, resources, and opportunities to make their own choices about disaster risk reduction. A national plan for dealing with a major calamity was not fully implemented. So the Nepalese, again, simply due to lack of resources, were not able to respond until a few days later to get out into the rural villages and try and assess the damage. It takes the international teams 24 to 72 hours to mobilize and arrive. In that time period, many of the people who could have been rescued are going to perish. People trapped by earthquakes are rescued by the locals within 24 hours. Often we don't see the readiness, we don't see the preparedness, we don't see the training or equipment to be able to do that.
Dr. Piranan Towashiripon is director of the Asian Disaster Preparedness Center. He recommends government intervention and incentives to improve the quality of Nepal's housing.
people in Nepal, they don't have money, they don't have any other means to construct a better quality house. So I think a lot of them will still go back to build mud houses. But there are other ways that disaster management communities can help them, like get them ready, get them to be aware of the potential impact, potential collapse of their houses. If that were to happen, then what should they do step by step? At the same time, to encourage them to move away from constructing such a poor quality housing, I think the government has to come and provide some incentive or some fund to them to really build a better quality. But this would take some time. This would take a long time to change really people's perceptions and raise their awareness. This scientific community alone cannot work alone. They have to work with practitioners. They have to make government understand the science behind earthquake as well and let them feel, say, the ownership of how they should help people, not relying only on the science part. I was involved in the mapping effort of Nepal. Before you really make plan to reduce the risk, I think you have to understand it first. You have to understand the nature of earthquakes in the country. You have to understand how big the earthquake could happen. If it happens, where and how frequent, how soon, then based on that information, you can prepare accordingly. But Nepal is not a country where there's enough money that you can put onto intervention measures without really thinking, right? Then you have to prioritize. So this risk maps or hazard map will tell you where you can prioritize your intervention or putting resources there.
Nepal's existing disaster fund and laws will be tested during the ongoing emergency.
The government has fund for natural disaster. I think it's called the Prime Minister's Disaster Relief Fund. It can be used for relief and response under any kind of disaster. So the concept is there. What we don't really know is how much money or fund was set aside this year or in any other years. And given that Nepal is one of the poorest countries in the world, I would be very surprised to learn that the fund that they set aside is anywhere close to the amount that would be needed to fully recover from this event. So at the end, Nepal will need international assistance. In terms of laws or strategies, they also have a Disaster Management Act. They also have a strategy on disaster risk management. And very important, they also have a multi-stakeholder consortium from government and non-government. This is a program that look into implementing disaster preparedness, mitigation, and risk reduction activities. And that also includes disaster response framework. What is happening on the ground? Now, the framework is being tested. It's quite early to tell if the framework is used successfully in this event or if it's used at all. We really don't know at this point.
Moving forward, Nepal will have to rebuild wisely if it is to survive a much more powerful earthquake, which some geologists expect to hit the Himalayan region in the near future.
Not only in Nepal, but in any country of the world, it's never going to be enough, no matter how much you prepare. I mean, nature will always come back and bite us. In terms of bouncing back or recovery, the country, Nepal, will have to rely heavily on international assistance, donors, or loan money that would come from different places to, first of all, rebuild what was destroyed, but also on a longer term, looking into how they can improve in terms of construction practice or in terms of understanding the earthquake, understanding potential, and be prepared for the next one, because the next one will happen.
That was Piranan Towashiripon, director of the Asian Disaster Preparedness Center. Earlier, we heard Ilan Kelman from the Institute for Risk and Disaster Reduction at University College London. I'm Jason Lim, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.